as the song has just said, Lord, breathe on me that I may receive your Holy Spirit, that your will may be done. In Jesus' name I thank thee. Amen and amen. I'd like to thank Elder Green for the scripture reading this morning. It was a lengthy one, but I'll tell you now, our sermon is Keeping Watch. It's the title of the sermon. And I ask that you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24 and 25. That's where the bulk of the sermon will come from, Matthew 24 and 25. But I just want to read part of what Elder Green read this morning. Matthew 24, verses 42. It says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord do come." And then in verse 44, he says, "Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." You know, when we were coming up in the church, I know when I first joined this church, I used to always hear people say, "Get ready, get ready, get ready." But I believe we are past that now. We're living in a time where we need to be ready, be ready, be ready. So I pray that what you'll hear today will cause you to know that it's truly a time to be ready, because soon Jesus is to come. You know, as we witness all the current events of these past months of climate change, fires, floods, tornadoes, police brutality, racial tension, economic crisis, unemployment, pandemics, many may ask, is the Lord really about to come? Is the final end of this world about to happen? What is the meaning of all these current events? In Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, as Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what should be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now, Jesus' disciples were just as curious as we are today. They wanted to know when and how the end would come. And Jesus answered them in verses 4 and 5 and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Let me read that again. "Take heed that no man deceive you." You know, as I was studying out this lesson this week, all throughout Matthew 24, he made mention of that at least 7 or 8 times. So in that, he says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." The disciples of old had to deal with that, and we who are modern day disciples, we're going to have to deal with that. So we can see clearly that Christ was very concerned that his disciples not be deceived or misled by false appearance or statements of people claiming to be Christ. So we got to be careful of that. In verse 11, he states, "And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many." Also in verses 23 and 24, the Bible states, "Then if any man should say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not." Verse 24, "For there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." You know, one of the things we have to learn in this modern day time is Satan desires to be like Jesus. And everything that Jesus does, he's going to try a counterfeit. That's why it says, if it were possible, he should deceive the very elect. He's great at disguising himself and counterfeiting, thus said the Lord. So we have to be very careful. in the book, 2 Thessalonians, that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, we need to pay very close attention to what Paul is about to tell us here. It says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Just as Jesus had showed great signs and wonders, Satan is going to try to counterfeit with signs and lying wonders. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish because they receive not a love for the truth. We're living in a time where it's very important that we fall in love with Jesus again. It's very important that we have a love for the truth. We give quality time to studying and knowing what thus said the Lord is. It's very important. Because it said that they were perished because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, watch this now, for this cause, the Bible says, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. Who's going to send it? God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, when I read that, that God should send them strong delusion that they believe a lie, I said to myself, how could that be? How is God going to send them strong delusions that they may believe a lie? But I thank God, I found in Exodus 4, verse 21, the last part of it says, God said, but I will harden Pharaoh's heart. That's what God said. I will harden Pharaoh's heart because he wouldn't believe all those signs and wonders that God did in sending those plagues. He ignored them. So God said, I'm going to harden his heart. Also in Exodus 7, verse 3, he says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. You see, when we fail to believe what God is teaching us, or fail to believe of thus said the Lord, God himself will send you strong delusions that you're going to believe a lie. Last week, Pastor preached on absent from the body is not present with the Lord. That's a strong delusion, because the world today believe absent from the body is present with the Lord. And that, to me, that is a strong delusion, because you're choosing to believe a lie rather than believe, thus said the Lord. All throughout, you take a lot of people, they will say, all you got to do is pray over it, and you can eat what you want. But 1 Timothy 4, verse 5 said, but if it is sanctified by the Lord. Yeah, you can pray, but it's got to be sanctified by the Lord. You got to go back to Exodus and Deuteronomy and see what was sanctified by the Lord. You can't just eat anything you want. These are strong delusions that if you don't believe what God says, God said, I'm going to send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That's what I'm getting from as I studied this. So we have to be careful. You know, in the book of Desire of Ages, I love the spirit of prophecy. In the book Desire of Ages, chapter 53, page 490, paragraph 1, I'm just going to read part of it. The last part of that talks about, the first part of it says, God says, behold, in Revelation 3:20, he said, behold, I'm standing at the door knocking. If any man will open up to me, I will come in and sup with him. But so many people today are refusing to open the door and allow God to come in with him. Watch what the last part of that quote says. Our condemnation, this is Job Ages, chapter 53, page 490, paragraph 1. Our condemnation in the judgment, which we're living in, as Brother Harvey taught last week, we're living in the best time of the investigative judgment. So our condemnation in the judgment will not result from the fact that we have been in error, but from the fact that we have neglected heaven-sent opportunities for learning what is truth. Did you get that? We have neglected heaven-sent opportunities for learning what is truth. So there it is again. When you neglect opportunities to learn what is truth, God is clearly telling us that he will send strong delusions that they may believe a lie. Now, Jesus told his disciples to take heed that no man deceive you, because he knows that Satan can operate by two means, deception and counterfeit. Those are the two means that we have to watch for. Now, back in the day, he used to use force and intimidation, and many people were killed because they wouldn't do what God said. But now he's amped up his game. He's coming at us with deception and counterfeit. Those are the two things that Satan is using. Now, all of us are familiar with the Bible story found in 2 Kings chapter 18, the contest on Mount Carmel. In 2 Kings 18:24, Elijah asked them, "Call ye on the name of the Lord, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It's well spoken." We all know Satan lost that battle. We know when he tried to call fire down from heaven, he wasn't able to do it. He just wasn't able to. That counterfeit God didn't allow him to do it at that time. But watch this. In Revelation chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, pay close attention to what you will hear now. In Revelation chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, "And he doeth great wonders." There it is again, this counterfeit. "So that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." Don't miss that. God is going to permit Satan to allow fire come down out of the heaven in sight of men. And what verse 14 said, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles." Be careful. Miracles can come from God, also can come from Satan. So verse 14, it said, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had his wound, which had his wound by a sword, and did live." This is future what we're talking about. This is what is to come. We need to be very careful. That's why Jesus spent most of his time dealing with not being deceived in this sermon that we're dealing with today. I think he dealt a lot with preparing those disciples then, and I think he's trying to get us prepared here and now. Also, in Revelation 16, that's Revelation chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, if you can look there. Look, this is another counterfeit. Here he is again, going to try to counterfeit the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Revelation 16, verse 13, it said, "And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. For they are the spirits of" who? They're the spirits of devils, "working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather them together for the battle of that great, great day of God Almighty." There he is again. God is warning us, let no man deceive us. Deception is going to be a major part of these last days. Deceptions and counterfeit. He's counterfeiting the Godhead there. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three unclean spirits. I wish I had more time to deal with that, but we're going to move on. Not only, this is very important, not only will there be a counterfeit as seen in Revelation 16, 13, and 14, but also a counterfeit of Christ's return. I have a lengthy quote here I want to read to you all. It's found in the book of Great Controversy, page 624. I thought it was important that we hear this. It's a little lengthy, but bear with me. In the book of Great Controversy, page 624, it said, "Fearful sights of a supernatural character will soon be revealed in the heavens in the token of the promise of miracle-working demons. The spirit of devils will go forth to the kings of the earth and to the whole world to fasten them in deception and urge them on to unite with Satan in his last struggle against the government of heaven. By these agencies, rulers and subjects will alike be deceived. Person will arise pretending to be Christ himself." Remember he said they're going to be false Christ, false prophets? Persons will arise pretending to be Christ himself and claiming the title and worship which belongs to the world redeemer. That happened back then, and it's going to happen again. They will perform wonderful miracles of healing and will profess to have revelations from heaven contradicting the testimonies of Scripture. It goes on to say, as the crowning act in the great drama of the deception, Satan himself will personate Christ. You see that? Satan himself will personate Christ. The church has long professed to look to the Savior advent as a consummation of his hopes. I see Carlos got it on the screen. Now the great deceiver will make it appear that Christ has come. Remember we said if you hear but he's over in the desert or he's there, do not go. If you, that's why, you know, this satellite thing that we got there and this seat, these the means of TV and everything, we got to be careful. Because when this section takes place, we got to be careful that we don't even turn on CNN to look at it. Because we're going to be drawn in. That's how deceptive and how powerful he's. We got to be so very careful. It goes on to say, in different parts of the earth, Satan will manifest himself among men as a majestic being of dazzling brightness, resembling the description of the Son of God given by John in Revelation. Revelation 1, 13 through 15, you can find that there. The glory that's around him is unsurpassed by anything that mortal eyes have yet to behold. So we got to be careful. We got to be very careful because what he's going to do, we haven't seen it as of yet. The shout of triumph rings out among the air. Christ has come. Christ has come. The people prostrate themselves in adoration before him while he lifted up his hands and pronounced a blessing upon them. As Christ blessed his disciples when he was upon the earth, his voice is soft and subdued, yet full of melody. In gentle, compassionate tones, he presents some of the same gracious heavenly truth with the Savior utter. I think that when Pastor had that guest speaker, that's called syncretism. What was that word he used? I think it was syncretism, where truth and error are so close together that if you don't know truth, you're going to fall for the error. You know, when people want to know the truth about false money, fake money, they don't study fake money. They study the real deal. They only study the original current. They don't study the fake stuff. So we have to be students. We have to study to know what is it, thus said the Lord, for ourselves. He heals the disease of many people. This is, we got to watch for this stuff. He heals the disease of many people. And I'm going to talk about that more in a second here. And then in his assuming character of Christ, he claims this is, we know he's a counterfeit because he's going to claim to have changed the Sabbath to Sunday. But because he caused fire to come down in sight of men, many are going to fall for this deception and believe that he indeed had the power to change the Sabbath to Sunday and command all to hallow the day which he has blessed. He declares that those who persist in keeping holy the seventh day are blaspheming his name by refusing to listen to his angels sent to them with light and truth. This is the strong, almost overmastering delusion. But I praise God that he has an answer. Well, before I get there, like in the Samaritans who were deceived by Simon Magus, the multitude from the least to the greatest give heed to these sorceries, saying this is the great God. This is the great power of God. But the people of God, hallelujah, but the people of God will not be misled. The teaching of this false Christ are not in accordance with the scriptures. His blessing is pronounced upon the worshipers of the beast and his image, the very class upon whom the Bible declares that God unmingled wrath should be poured out. And that's found in Revelation 14:10. And furthermore, Satan is not to permit to counterfeit the manner of Christ's advent. The Savior has warned his people against deception upon this point and has clearly foretold the manner of his second coming. And we know in Revelation 1, verse 7, he said, he will come with clouds and every eye shall see him. That's why Satan is so many people are drawn into the television, because he's going to use that as a means of every eye seeing him and believing that he is Christ himself. But we Adventists, those of us who are students, we shouldn't fall for this. We're going to have to be very careful that we become lovers of truth more than lovers of pleasure and things of this world. We got to fall in love with truth again and be prepared not for deception. So he said he comes, Revelation 1:7, he comes with clouds and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. So it's very important that we know of thus said the Lord. And here is where it speaks to you and I today. This will end this quote here. Only those who have been diligent students of the scripture and who have received the love of the truth. That's the bottom of that quote there, Brother Lose. It said, only those who have been diligent students of the scriptures and who have received a love of the truth. It's very important that we fall in love with Jesus once again. We'll be shielded from the powerful delusion that takes the whole world captive. By the Bible testimony, these will detect the deceiver in his disguise. End of quote. You know, you want to know what's going on in the world today? Shut the TVs down. Pick up that book, Great Controversy. What a powerful book. I can read that Great Controversy and pretty much tell you what's to come. And it's a whole lot better than what that fake news, I shouldn't use that word because this guy uses a lot, but that news that we've seen on there, you can get better news from the Great Controversy. Pick that Great Controversy up. Study that. Learn that book front to back. And so that we will not be deceived. There's a whole lot more that I could have said on that, but I'm going to leave it alone. It said, we are told in Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if you speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. In other words, God is letting us know he had not sent them. Now, I like what Dr. Luke had to say in Luke chapter 21, verse 34 and 35. I'm going to read it from the Living Bible because I want us to get it. I really want us to get this. It says, in the Living Bible, it warns us to watch out. He said, don't let my sudden coming catch you unawares. Don't let me find you living in careless ease, carousing and drinking, and occupied, don't miss this, occupied with the problems of this life like all the rest of the world. Did you get it? He said, don't let me find you living like the rest of the world. In other words, he's telling us to keep a constant watch and pray, if possible, you may arrive in my presence without having to experience these horrors. Let us look back at a story of the disciples in Matthew 24. We're going to go back there again. We'll go back and finish up Matthew 24. Now, they were thinking, oh, great. Surely Jesus is going to tell us when the end will come. In Matthew 24, verse 6, Jesus said, and you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. He told those disciples then. He's telling you and I today. See that you be not troubled. Why? He says, because in verse 6, he said, Matthew 24, 6 says, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. We'll talk about that in a second. It's very important that we pay close attention to the last part of that verse of the scripture that states, but the end is not yet. Why he said that? Because in Matthew 24, verse 33, he says, so when you see these signs all taken together, Watch this. When you see these signs all taken together, coming to pass, you may know of a surety that he is near, even at the door. I took that reading from the Amplified Bible because I like the way that read. He said, you can be of a surety that the end is near, even at the door. I believe it's in 1 Peter 4:7. It said, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be sober and to watch under prayer. It's very important that we study, pray, and trust God and believe what he said. Because when he told those disciples, not one stone would be left unturned. Everyone, that building, that magnificent building, that beautiful building that they was pointing to and telling Jesus about. When he told them not one stone shall be left unturned, they should have believed that. Because just as he predicted. Because they thought that building was impregnable. They didn't think that building could be destroyed. But Jesus said it would be destroyed, and it was destroyed. So it's very important that we pay a close attention to what Jesus said. He goes on to tell them in Matthew 24:7-8, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilence. I don't think pestilence was back in that, but that's added. And earthquakes in diverse places. He says again, all these are the beginning of sorrow. You know, some places says it's the beginning of labor pain. Our wives can identify and help us understand. They may wake us up sometime in the middle of the night when that baby's kicking and we think that it's time, but it's only just that he's having some fun rolling over. But that's just the beginning of sorrow. The labor pains are just beginning. You know, church, it would be great if Jesus was to give us all the details and the exact date of his coming and all the events leading up to it. Then we could line them up, see exactly where we are, and know when we have to get ready. But I don't think that would be the best thing for us. Why do I say this? There's a story of a young man who asked a preacher. He says, when shall I get right with God? This young man wanted to know, when shall I get right with God? The preacher answered, the day before you die. The young man responded, but when am I going to die? The preacher answered, no one knows. Therefore, the scriptures say, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Hebrews 4:7. So church, it's important that we live every day as if Jesus is coming back, because he reminds us in Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. In Acts 1:7, Jesus told his disciples, it is not for you to know the time, the times, or the season which the Father had put in his own power. So church, the lack of a specific time or event warning us not to be distracted by current events, but to be faithful to everyday duties. You hear that? So in Matthew 24 again, I'm going to read it, and repetition deepens the impression. In Matthew 24:42, he says, Jesus warned us, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doeth come. But knoweth this, verse 43, that if the good men of the house had known in which watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Verse 44, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, many Adventists think of themselves as people who anticipate that Jesus is coming soon to bring this pain-filled world to an end. But according to Jesus, being Adventist is more than knowing all the signs of the end. It means keeping watch. That's our title today. keeping watch, in other words, living in a certain way because you know and believe that Jesus is coming soon. The purpose of Jesus' sermon in Matthew 24 is not to satisfy our curiosity about the end, but to remind us that we need to keep watch. It's to remind us that we need to be ready. So why is it important to keep watch? It has to do with how we treat one another. Keeping watch means developing the kind of relationship with Jesus that is sustained only through hopes for his return. Let me read that again. Keeping watch means developing the kind of relationship with Jesus that is sustained even though hopes for his return are not realized as soon as some expect. Watchers will not grow weary in well-doing, Galatians 6:9. Keeping watch means doing what Jesus did in Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46. He said, "You visited me when I was sick or in prison. You clothed me when I was naked. You fed me when I was hungry. And you gave me drink when I was thirsty." But the sheep answered, "When? We never did any of that." Then Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." So what is keeping watch all about? Keeping watch means treating our brothers and sisters as though they were Christ. We must learn to see Jesus in every person we meet. While salvation is based solely on the work of Christ, the evidence of our claim to be in Christ is how we have treated others. Although our human curiosity is God-given, the central purpose of keeping watch is not to satisfy our curiosity about the future, but to teach us how to live daily. As we consider the wars, the famines, the pestilence, Jesus does not encourage us to speculate whether or not this is the end. Instead, we are to accept such events as reminders of Jesus' sermon to keep watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doeth come. Now, I like what he tells us in Luke 21, verses 26 to 28. That's Luke 21, verses 26 to 28. Now, Jesus gave a definite answer about current events. He said, "Men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming to the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." Verse 27, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up." Hallelujah. "Look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Church, this is what we should be doing. Looking up. Yes, looking up. This is where our eyes should be. Jesus said in John 16:33, I like the way he put it in the Living Bible. He said, "I've told you all this so that you will have peace of heart and mind. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But cheer up. Cheer up, you pilgrim. Cheer up, for I have overcome the world." In John 16, verse 4, he said, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I've told you at the beginning, because I was with you." That's what he told his disciples. But they weren't paying attention. And the world today is fast asleep. The world today is not paying attention. But I'm telling you this today so that you can wake up and get ready. Get ready. Not get ready. I'm sorry. Be ready. Be ready. The train is coming. We need to be ready. So, church, as I prepare to land this plane, I'd like to leave you with a story found in the book of Acts about the Apostle Paul during a violent shipwreck. It says in Acts chapter 27, verse 22 to 25. Verse 22 says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." Look at Paul. Paul was a prisoner. But again, he said, "Be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." Paul is letting everybody know that's on that ship. This ship is going down, but no life is going to be lost. Hallelujah. That's what Paul said. Verse 23. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Verse 24 saying, "Fear not. Fear not, little children, fear not," Paul said, "for thou must be brought before Caesar." Paul knew he was going to get before Caesar because the angel appeared to him and told him, "You're going to make it there, Paul," even though he was a prisoner. "And lo, God has given thee all them that sailed with him." Hallelujah. Everybody that sailed with Paul was going to be saved. In verse 25, wherefore, sir, he's telling the captain of the ship, he said, "Be of good cheer. For I believe God that it should be even as it is told." It's time for us to believe the word of God. It's time for us to really fall in love with the word of God again. Paul said he believed God. "For I believe that God that it should be even as it is told." And in verse 31, here's what Paul is telling you and I. That's Acts 27, verse 31. So Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except thee abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Falling and think that the Ten Commandments, we got to stop acting like it's just a banquet that we can pick and choose and do what the Ten Commandments tell us to do. That's where your character is developed, by realizing what the Ten Commandments teach. He's in, what is that text? That quote in, there's a quote in Christ's Out Your Blessing. It said, "Christ is waiting with longing and desire for the manifestation of his spirit in his church." And then it goes on to say, as Christ's Out Your Blessing, page 69, it said, "When the character of Christ is perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come." He will come. It's time for us, y'all, to let Christ develop his character in us so we can be ready when he comes. He's coming. So throughout the voyage, Paul's fellow passengers had noted his kindness. Don't miss this. They noticed he was a prisoner, but they noticed his kindness and his peace. You know, when I was growing up, we had to say it. I used to always say, you know, it's nice to be somebody important. But in my life, I learned that even though it's nice to be somebody important, it's more important that we be nice to somebody. And that's what I've seen demonstrated in the life of Paul. Paul's faith in God was evident by a life spent in loving ministry to others. He wasn't worshiping for himself. He possessed the faith of Jesus and encourage others to find this faith too. So let us be mindful of what Jesus said in John 14, 1 through 3. You all know it. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may you be also." So, church, let us be like Paul and abide in the ship. In John 15, 7, it says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you." So who's going to join me today and asking Jesus to abide in us, to remain in us, to stay in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So when he comes, we can raise our hand and say, "Lo, this is our God. we have waited for him, and he shall come. And he says, Christ Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So I leave you with this. Continue in his love. God bless you, saints. Pray that you have received this word today and that what's heard here today will indeed find a larger place in someone's heart. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord.